I enjoy listening to preaching on the radio, and I also listen. I have my own little group that I download on MP3, and I enjoy listening to it on my on my cell phone. And something just hit me, and I think this was Billy Graham that I had heard that said this. I think it was down in South Florida, a hurricane had happened to hit a number of decades ago, and the pastor there looked up after the devastation had all gone through, and someone had put on a billboard, "Okay, God, you have my attention." After this last hurricane, it would be wonderful to say, for a people to say, "Okay, God, you've got my attention." This morning, I hope that the Lord does have our attention. We have been blessed to have avoided or not been had judgment shown to us over a hurricane hitting us directly. We've been so blessed. And we need to give God thanks for that. Amen. We need to also recognize that we need to continue to serve Him. And again, I encourage you to look at the billboards or the little things, the changes in our foyer dealing specifically with service to God and the battles that we fight. But this morning, the battle that we're going to talk about is a continuing in the series dealing with our escape plan, our exit strategy. And it's something that we really need to commit to God, where God is telling us to do, what He's telling us to do. And are we willing to do what He's told us to do, regardless of whether we think we can do the job or not? This morning, will you agree with me in prayer, again, that when the Lord speaks to you and says, "You really need to be doing this. I know you don't think this, but you need to be doing this," that you'll commit this to the Lord this morning and you'll do something with what God tells you? Amen. Let's seal this in prayer. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for Your love so much, Your patience with us. You have blessed us, and it is amazing how You love us so. Father, we ask that You will speak to us this morning. You look on our hearts. You know every inclination. You know every sin. You know every lie, every thought that we've thought that we shouldn't be thinking. Father, we ask this morning that You will expose those things to us, the things that separate our communication with You, separate hearing You clear. Father, we ask for more of You this morning. Whatever it takes, help us to see those things, to get that restoration in our lives. We ask these things in Your Son's holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had conflicting information given to you, or have told someone how to do something and someone else tells you to do it a different way or go a different way? For example, let's just say you're going to plan a trip to Tennessee and your neighbor knows the exact spot that you're going to go. They've lived there for years. They know it like the back of their hand, and they say, "You're going to take up this highway, you're going to turn here, you're going to make a left here. Oh, and when you see this big sign that says, barbecue unlimited, you're going to make a left right there. If you want to stop there, eat there." And that person just gives you all the facts on how to get there. Well, let's just say you say, "Wow, that's amazing. This trip is going to be fantastic." So you decide to take the instruction of that individual. And you say, okay, you get three quarters of the way, and that guy's, your neighbor, has given the best instructions you have ever had, the best directions, the best monuments, best places to eat. So you go to this one restaurant. It's a breakfast restaurant, and the waitress, you start talking to her. Maybe you're sharing a gospel track with her, and you're trying to encourage her in the Lord. And you go, and you say, she asks, "Well, where are you heading?" I says, "Well, we got a little cabin up in Tennessee where we're renting this weekend." "Oh, whereabouts?" And she says, "Oh, I know that area very, very well." And she says, "Well, what route are you taking?" And you tell her. He says, "Oh, I'm taking this route." And she says, oh, and before you could even finish, she stops you midstream. You don't want to go that way. You don't want to go that way. It'll save you 30 minutes if you take this way. You're confronted with a decision now. A decision of a friend who has lived there all their life and another woman who has lived there all their life, but you start to say, wait a second, who do I believe? The instructions that have been given me have been dead on, perfect every time, the most expedient directions I've ever had. But you have someone counter those instructions. This morning, we're continuing the series, What is Your Exit Strategy? We're going to be looking at another individual where the Lord put this man in harm's way. But this time, God tells him how to exit. He gives him the exact way to go. But unfortunately, another man, an old prophet, tells him conflicting information. It is a practical application today. Who do you listen to when God has spoken to you? Do you listen to your neighbor, yourself? Who do you listen to when God speaks to you? You know He has told you to stop when you needed to stop, and He's been right on. I should have stopped, and I did. He's told you to turn around, and you've turned around, and He's blessed you for it. But something happens. Somehow, contrary information is received. And digested. And you have a choice. What do you do? If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll be referring to this chapter quite a bit, so you may want to put a bookmark in there now. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, Jeroboam was the king. And before we go too much into this event, it's important to know something, a history about this king. If Jeroboam had followed the Lord, he would have had the opportunity of becoming a great king. But instead, he encourages the people of Israel to leave God. You see, the citizens of in his nation would go and worship in Jerusalem. They would bring their offerings and their sacrifices to the priests. But Jeroboam says, we shouldn't have to go all that way to Jerusalem just to worship. That's too much of an inconvenience. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that today, of people saying, oh, it's too inconvenient to go to church. Maybe the rain, maybe it's too long of a distance, whatever the excuse is, but we've heard it before. So what does he do? What does this King Jeroboam do? He builds two golden calves and an altar in downtown square. He hires some men to be priests and says, from now on, you can worship here. We'll be worshiping these golden calves. Now, this is a king. Doesn't sound like a very good king. And this is Jeroboam. This is the man that this man of God has just seen in this temple, at this altar. He prophesies that a day is coming when this altar that he's before is going to be defiled and polluted. Continue in verse 2. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a king shall be born unto the house of David. A child shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was rent, also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy kingdom, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. And pay attention, because now we're getting to the way the Lord said to leave. For it was so charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. This man was given specific instructions. Don't eat, drink, or go home the same way, but go a different way. The man was pretty clear about those parameters. But something is about to happen that causes him to doubt God's instruction. Continue reading in verse 10. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? And his sons, for his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree, or under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back unto thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. God instructed this man to take a certain path. He was sure of that path, just as sure he was to go before the king and confront him. He was sure of the prophecy that he came to pronounce against the altar. But now another man had said, God changed his mind. You are to come home with me and dine. Have you ever considered the consequences for failing to follow the instructions of God? What would have happened if Noah was talking to one of his neighbors and said, God spoke to him and said, this ark thing, Noah, you're building, is a complete waste of time. Noah knew the right thing and was obedient. What would have happened if Lot, if he had refused to listen to the angel's instruction that were there, but instead listened to his wife? He and his whole family would have died in the same fire and brimstone that came down against Sodom and Gomorrah. What would have happened to the citizens of Nineveh if they had refused to listen to Jonah? Oh yeah, Jonah, that guy who looks strange with all the stomach acids. Oh, I hear him preach and repent. But yet, our temple says, oh, everything's golden, it's good. What would have happened if they refused and listened and listened to Jonah and the word of the Lord being pronounced and chose a different route? God would have destroyed that city. How will you escape hell and judgment when the world says one thing and God says something totally different? Put a bookmark here in Kings 13, 1 Kings 13, and turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Listen, it isn't religion that saves you. It isn't good works that save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But in this world we live in, the argument is, what do we need to be saved from and why? We aren't that bad. We have good morals. We're faithful servants of God. John the Baptist had an audience that confronted people like this, the same thought process. He called them out. He told them what needed to be done, and he asked them a direct question. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, and he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John didn't pull any punches. John didn't hedge around the bush. He knew the reason why these men were here, and it wasn't because they were convicted over sin. It wasn't because they were looking for an escape plan. These men were self-righteous. They were so caught up in religion that they failed to see a need for a Savior. Whether you know Christ as your Savior this morning or don't see the need, this next verse should wake you up to the time you and I are living in. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing, at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. According to the Scripture, there is coming a day when Jesus is going to be judge and jury. What will His verdict be of you this morning? There is a warning given to us that is telling us we are needing to ground ourselves in the Word of God. Our generation and some of us are being influenced by people they hear on the radio, they watch on TV, and maybe even read their books. We're convinced that they're telling the truth. We are convinced that they wouldn't want to deceive us. But what has happened is we've become lazy and leave what we once knew to be true. Faith is no longer faith. It is a fable. There is no misinterpreting the following verses I'm about to read. There is no sugarcoating the truth here. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Matthew 25:41. Then shall He say unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What is your exit strategy this morning? There is one exit plan, and it's found in John 3:36. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Will you follow the plan that God has laid out? We opened with the man of God who listened to a man instead of God. He had a choice and he made it. I want you to see the outcome of this man. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 23. And it came to pass, after he had eaten the bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Now, could you imagine that? Here, this man of God who just prophesied against Jeroboam, who decided to follow an old prophet's lie instead of what he knew what God's word was. You see, an ass, a dead body, and a lion. Typically, I don't see a lion leaving any live prey, but you see a living ass there. Verse 26 or 25, and when the men passed by, they saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. What is your exit strategy this morning? I want to close this morning with what Moses had presented to the children of Israel. Make your stand with him this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Come to him this morning. Ask him for forgiveness. Bring to him those things that he's told you about. Bring forth the fruits of repentance in your life. Ask him for the strength that you need. But better yet, take the strength that he gives. What will you do? It's your verdict. Make a choice for him this morning. We're going to have an altar call this morning. Some of us made commitments saying, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And you showed me some things this morning that I've been remiss. I've been lazy. I've been rebellious. Make those decisions this morning for him. Take care of it. Take care of it here at the altar or in your seat. Just make the decision that is needed to restore your communication, your fellowship with Jesus Christ this morning. It's your choice. No one can make you do that. I hope you received him this morning. Father, thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your patience with us. Father, we ask that throughout this week we'll be the light, the salt, the brother, the sister that you call us to be. Let people see you in us. Give us a hunger and a thirst like we've never had before to know you better, to get into your word, to share the beauty of it with others. We ask these things in your Son's holy name, Jesus' name. Amen.